Last Sunday afternoon, we began looking at some scriptures that have to deal with the sins of the tongue. This applies to every one of us because we all have tongues, we all use our words, we all text and type and call and use this member that God has given us every day. And so it makes sense that the Bible addresses the way we use our tongue and even shows us the dangers of the tongue and the misuse of the tongue. Last week we talked about cussing and using foul language and blaspheming the name of God. This week I would like for us to take a look at the sin of lying. In Psalm 116 and verse 11, David said, "I said in my haste, all men are liars." Now David may have made this blanket indictment of mankind in haste, but common experience may at times lead many people to sympathize with his conclusion. All men are liars. Lying, it appears, has become commonplace in our culture. It's come to be expected from different individuals and different classes of individuals. How can you tell when a politician is lying? When his lips are moving, right? Those who are politicians, those who are salesmen, those who are involved in advertising, and there are other occupations that unfortunately seem to be painted with a broad brush and are notorious for not telling the truth. Different people have different views about lying. Even those who claim to be Christians, even those who are looked upon as religious leaders, will give different opinions about lying. A couple of years ago, I got a piece in the local paper down in Texas. Actually, it was an AP piece that was picked up. A couple of religious leaders in the Kansas City area were asked the question about lying. Is it ever all right to tell a lie? And they gave two vastly different answers to that question. And I was somewhat shocked and somewhat not. Although it is still universally held that lying in general is wrong, there are many people who lie today. And there are many people who seek to justify lying in different circumstances. What about the child of God? What should our view be towards this subject? What about lying? What is a lie? Is it ever all right to tell a lie? What's wrong with lying? We're going to talk about that this afternoon. Let's start by defining our subject before us. To lie, according to the dictionary, is to make a statement that one knows is false, especially with intent to deceive. There are times that you and I could pass on false information without realizing that we're doing so. There's no devious intent on our part in doing that. We're simply passing on what we believe to be the truth. According to this definition, to lie is to make a statement that we know is false with the intent of deceiving others. The New Unger's Bible Dictionary defines lie in this way. In Scripture, the word is used to designate all the ways in which men deny or alter the truth in word or deed. So notice this broadens the definition somewhat. It's not just speaking falsehood with the intent to deceive. It's when we choose any way that denies or alters the truth, whether it be in the words that we say in our conversation or it be in our deed. Someone who lives a hypocritical lifestyle, they're portraying themselves as one thing when in fact they are something else. They are living a lie. They are misleading others, and that would fall under the definition of a lie according to the Scriptures. Those who leave the wrong impression, those who may answer a question with the truth, but they purposely withhold all of the truth, again, with the intention of misleading someone else or causing them to come to the wrong conclusion. All this is involved in deception. And I believe in the Bible would fall under this category of lying. The Bible is pretty cut and dry on this subject. The Bible teaches that all lying is wrong and sinful. In both the Old and New Testament, lying is condemned as a sin. In Exodus chapter 20 and verse 16 in the Ten Commandments, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. As we had read for us a few moments ago from Proverbs chapter 6, there are six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto Him. A lying tongue is among that number of things. In the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Colossians 3, verse 9, do not lie to one another. Lying is to purposely deceive another, and the Bible condemns it, both in the Old and the New Testament. Well, despite that clarity, despite understanding what the Bible has to say on the subject, we still are faced with the question from time to time, is it ever right to tell a lie? Is it ever okay for us to purposely deceive someone else? This is a favorite question of those who enjoy debating ethics. I, for one, do not enjoy debating ethics, but this is a popular question. We know what the Bible says about lying, but still there are those who want to discuss the question, is there ever a circumstance in which it would be all right or acceptable for us to tell a lie? Is it ever justified? Is telling a lie ever justified for a Christian? Maybe to save a friendship. Maybe to save someone's feelings. You might lie about a dish that they cooked or the way that they look. Maybe to save someone's reputation or someone's life. You might lie and say, no, they are not here. Or they went this way when in fact they went that way. Is there ever a situation in which it would be okay to tell a lie, in which God would say, all right, it's okay that you told that lie? The answer to that question reveals the method that one uses to determine right from wrong, really, in all matters. If someone uses a subjective standard, such as stressing the benefits or the consequences of telling a lie, then the answer will be yes. That is, if telling a particular lie produces a better result than not telling the lie, then telling the lie would be a good thing to do. If I can spare someone's feelings, if I can spare someone some injury or damage, if I can spare someone's life, then certainly that's a good thing, and under those circumstances it would be okay to tell a lie. That's a subjective standard because those circumstances change every time. But if we use an objective standard, such as the Word of God, and we go by what an objective, never-changing standard says about lying, then the answer will always be no. The Bible says that lying is a sin, that lying is wrong, then it is never right to tell a lie. You and I as Christians must be governed by the second method, by appealing to an objectionable standard, an objective standard, one that never changes. The Bible specifically states that all lying is wrong and sinful, and the Bible gives absolutely no exception to this rule. And that's why, to me, it is pointless to debate the subject. The Bible settles it. Lying is wrong. Someone might continue their objection to this conclusion by saying, you know, if the Bible says that lying is wrong, then why do so many good people in the Bible tell lies and supposedly appear to get away with it? Well, they're right about that scenario or that situation. They're right about that observation. Indeed, there are examples of good people in the Bible telling lies. Abraham was a friend of God, wasn't he? So close to God, so faithful to God, God called him his friend. And he is the father of the faithful today, not just the father of the Jews, but Paul says in Romans and Galatians, he's the father of all believers. Yet he lied, didn't he? He told the same lie twice. He lied about Sarah being his wife in Genesis 12 and again in Genesis 20. How about Sarah? Sarah is held up as a godly example for women to follow today. Peter holds her up as an example in 1 Peter at chapter 3. Sarah being the wife of Abraham, a good, godly woman, and yet she went along with the lies of her husband, Abraham, and she also lied herself in Genesis 18. Whenever God made the promise, a year from now, your wife will have a child, and she laughed, and God called her on it. She said, I didn't laugh, but she was lying. She did indeed laugh. Well, you have a man, you have his wife, you have their son Isaac. It's no surprise that in Genesis 26, verses 7 through 9, Isaac lies about Rebekah being his wife, just like his father lied about Sarah being his wife. And Rebekah went along with this lie. And so is it any surprise that a chapter later, we find Rebekah getting their son Jacob and convincing him to lie to his father Isaac. When he goes in to lie to Isaac, saying that he is Esau and getting from his father the promise and the blessing that is given to the firstborn. In Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, Rahab the harlot lied when the people from the king were sent to her house. She hid the spies from Israel, but she told the people who came to her house, no, they were here, but they ran out the gate, and if you hurry up, you'll catch up with them. But she lied to spare their life. And we think, you know, we've got Abraham, his wife, and Isaac. We got the patriarchs here, and then here's this woman Rahab. Here's this harlot. But when you go to the New Testament, Rahab is held up as a good woman, as an example of faith. She is put alongside Abraham in James chapter 2 as an example of faith working through works of obedience. So here's a good woman. She lied. What about David? In 1 Samuel chapter 21 and verse 2, David, the man after God's own heart, lied to the priest Ahimelech about the mission that he was sent on by King Saul. So David lied amongst some other sins he committed. In the New Testament, Peter lied when he denied Christ three times, right? I don't know the man. That was a lie. He lied when he denied Christ. So someone says, if lying is so bad, if lying is so wrong, then why did these people tell lies and appear to get away with it? Does the Bible really condemn lying when you have so many examples of good people telling lies? Well, my response would be this. The fact that good men and women in the Bible sometimes told lies does not mean that lying is a good thing, nor does it mean that God allows or endorses the practice of lying. Instead, it should serve as a sober warning to you and to I of the fact that good men and women can easily be overtaken in this sin. Someone who is called the friend of God was capable of lying. That means that I am as well. Someone who was the man after God's own heart was capable of lying. That means that I can do it as well. So I don't need to treat this sin lightly. I don't need to pass it off as something that I don't need to worry about. These good men and women were capable of it. I'm capable of it as well. The ease by which we can commit this sin, along with the abundance of arguments that are available to us to justify it, should impress upon us the fact that this sin needs to be taken seriously. Lying is a sin, and lying is a sin that each and every one of us is capable of committing. What's wrong with lying? Well, the fact that lying is a sin is enough to convince the child of God not to lie. However, there's more that can be understood about lying that can help us to appreciate what makes it so wrong. Number one, consider the fact that lies originate with Satan. Open your Bible to John chapter 8. Let's open our Bible and read some passages now. John chapter 8 and verse 44. Jesus here is having a confrontation with the Jews, and he says to them, "You are of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil is a liar, and he is the father of lying, and he is the father of lies. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9 sets forth Satan as the serpent of old, the deceiver of the entire world. See, it is Satan's goal not to just to lie to Adam and Eve, not just to lie to you and to me, but to deceive the entire world. Lies originate with Satan. Just as every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, with whom there is no shadow of turning, James 1 verse 17, every lie comes from Satan. All truth comes from Christ. All lies come from Satan. Satan is incapable of honoring and respecting the truth because there is no truth in him. Lying is Satan's work, coming from Satan's resources to fulfill Satan's desire. And those who speak lies today are fulfilling the desires of Satan. And I ask you, how can it be right to do Satan's work? How can it be right for you and I as Christians to even waste a second contemplating whether or not we ought to tell a lie? Lies originate with Satan, tells us we ought not to have anything to do with it. Secondly, by these lies, Satan was able to destroy mankind, and lies still continue to destroy mankind. Jesus describes Satan in John chapter 8 and verse 44 as a murderer from the beginning. How was it that Satan murdered from the beginning? Well, you go back to the beginning, back in Genesis chapter 3, and you see there that it was by a lie. That Satan used a lie to murder from the beginning. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 5, "Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, 'Has God indeed said, you should not eat of every tree of the garden?' And the woman said to the serpent, 'We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" That's the truth. That's what God said. Eve understood it. "Then the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die.'" There's the lie. "Then he built on that lie, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." And the woman thought about what he said and looked at that fruit and took it and ate and plunged mankind into death. He was a murderer from the beginning. How? Through the lies that he told. Satan continues to destroy mankind with lies today. They are a snare which holds souls captive to death. In the book of 2 Timothy, at chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. Here Paul tells Timothy of the seriousness of his task as a gospel preacher. "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth." Notice these individuals, they need to know the truth. Why? Verse 26, "that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." Now, if what they need to hear in order to get out of this snare is the truth, and they are presently being held captive by Satan to do his will, what is it that's holding them captive and keeping them captive? It's a lie. All the false doctrine that is taught today, all the error that is taught today in books, on the internet, on the radio, on television, by all these so-called preachers, they're lies that Satan uses to hold your loved ones and my loved ones captive until the end so that they can go to hell with him. That's what a lie does. a lie destroys mankind. And not only does it destroy him for eternity, but it also destroys his physical life now, the life that he lives now. In Psalm 52, verses 2 through 4, Psalm 52, verses 2 through 4, your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness. You love all devouring words, you deceitful tongue. Notice what the deceitful tongue does. It slashes like a razor, and it destroys men's lives. The one who discovers that he has been lied to feels used and manipulated. How do you feel when you've been lied to? You've been denied access to the truth. You've been cut to the core. Lying destroys trust between individuals. Society as a whole begins to crumble apart, one friendship at a time. Lying destroys the liar by destroying his reputation, his credibility, and by making him more apt to lie again to cover up that lie, and lying again to cover up that lie, and it quickly becomes a way of life for him. And that's why we have so many people lying today. They've fallen into that habit. What's wrong with lying? Lying destroys mankind. Lying also destroys the quality of man's life. In the book of 1 Peter, at chapter 3 and verse 10, this is a passage that we looked at last week in introducing the subject of the tongue and the importance of the tongue, that is, the impact that the tongue has upon our lives. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "For he who would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit." You want to live a good life? Tell the truth. Oh, it might not always get you the best return on your investment. It might not always get you out of having to pay this fine or this ticket or this penalty. It might not always get you the best price that you can get on a sale. Do you want to live a good life? A rewarding life? Tell the truth. Every time, tell the truth. Albert Barnes, in his commentary that so many of us are familiar with and perhaps use from time to time, Barnes notes, he says this on this passage, "The way to avoid the hostility of other people and to secure their favor and friendship is to deal with them in truth and thus to live in peace with them." Lying destroys the quality of one's life. But there's more. Lies are opposed to the identity and the work, the very nature of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In John chapter 14 and verse 6, Jesus says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Jesus is the embodiment of truth. And so a lie is opposed to the very nature of who Jesus is. In John chapter 18 and verse 37, Jesus stood before Pilate and told him, "For this reason I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth." You see, Jesus told the truth. That's the whole reason he came. To bear witness to the truth. In John chapter 1 and verse 17, we read that grace and truth come through Jesus Christ. In John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The truth that Jesus embodies, the truth that Jesus came to bear witness of, is that truth that makes us free from sin. We talked this morning about the fact there are some things that we can't do for ourselves. I can't make myself free from sin. Only the truth given through Jesus Christ can make me free from sin. Lies oppose the nature and the work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only is one who lies doing the work of Satan, but he is actively opposing the work of Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10, we see that lies are contrary to sound doctrine. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. "Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous person, but for the lawless and insubordinate, for the ungodly and for sinners, for the unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for fornicators, for sodomites, for kidnappers, for liars, for perjurers, and if there is any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. The Apostle Paul gives a list of sinners, gives a list of sins that people can be involved in, and says that they are all contrary to sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Doctrine is teaching. Nothing fancy about that word. Doctrine is a body of teaching, a body of instruction. But here's the adjective, sound doctrine. What is sound? What does it mean to be sound? That word sound quite simply means to be whole or to be healthy, to be good, to be complete. We use the phrase today about a sound church. Is that a sound church or an unsound church? We use it to refer to, are they liberal or are they conservative? Are they liberal or are they sound? The word sound really encompasses more than just the issues of institutionalism. It has to do with wholeness and healthiness. Is that a sound church? Is that a whole doctrine? Is it a healthy doctrine? Is it a complete doctrine? Sound doctrine. What would make doctrine no longer sound, no longer healthy? Of all the sins that are listed here in this passage, would it not be a lie? That would be the greatest affront and the greatest threat to sound doctrine. If you've got sound doctrine, if you've got the truth preached in its wholeness and completeness, and you introduce one lie, what have you done to the soundness of that doctrine? You've destroyed it. It's no longer there, and it's no longer sound. The truth of the gospel is a precious gift from God. You should know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. But lies destroy the truth, and lies destroy this gift. And lies are contrary to sound doctrine. We are to contend earnestly for the faith. That would include getting rid of all lies, getting rid of all falsehood and all deceit, and anything that taints sound doctrine. And why is lying wrong? Well, finally, God hates lying. And anything that God hates ought to tell us that's something we ought not to be doing. We had read for us in our services earlier, Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. These six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren. Do you notice that the seven things listed here, what's the one that's mentioned twice? That ought to get our attention. Lies. Telling lies. God hates it. It's an abomination to Him. Lies oppose His Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that He came to do. Destroys His Word. Destroys sound doctrine. It's not hard for us to understand why God would hate lying. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 18 tells us it is against God's nature that it is impossible for God to lie. God cannot lie. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 5. If we ever think that we can lie and get away with it, we can tell this lie here, we can bend the truth right here and get away with it. Proverbs 19 verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. We're not going to get away with it. In fact, Revelation 21 and verse 8 says that all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. All liars, those who love and practice the lie, will have their part in hell. That's enough to tell you and to tell me that we ought not to tell lies. Lies abound in our world today. And telling a lie is such an easy sin to commit. And the philosophical arguments that are used to justify it abound, and they only work to complicate matters for the struggling child of God. We must remember that lying is a sin, and that it is never right to tell a lie. Just because some good men and women in the Bible told lies doesn't mean that it is all right. Instead, that fact should serve as a warning that if they did it, we can as well. We better stand our ground and be alert to such a temptation. Lying is the work of Satan. It is opposed to the truth, the work of Christ, and everything that is good for man. God hates lying, and God will ultimately destroy all liars in a devil's hell. With these facts before us, let us remember and let us leave here with a renewed determination that we must never tell a lie. Ephesians 4, verse 25, "Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another." Proverbs 13, verse 5, "A righteous man hates lying." And that, brethren, is the truth. If you're here this afternoon and you're subject to the invitation, we're going to extend it at this time. Perhaps you are ready to become a child of God. You're ready to remove that stone of hindrance, whatever it is that's standing between you and God that we talked about this morning. Whatever that is, you're ready to move it out of the way, and you're ready to confess your faith in Christ, to repent of your sins, and to be baptized in water to have those sins washed away. If you're ready to do that, why not let us help you? You're among friends. We'd be glad to hear your confession, and we'd be glad to assist you in your baptism. Maybe you're here this afternoon, and you have sin in your life. Maybe it's of a nature of what we've talked about this very hour. Maybe you have a problem with lying, and you realize just how terrible this sin is. And you realize the kind of hold that it has on you. You need to repent. You need to turn away from that sin, and you need to seek God's forgiveness and God's help in overcoming that sin. And if you'd like for our prayers on your behalf to help you, we'd be glad to do that as well. Whatever your need is, we ask you to let it be known by coming forward as together we stand and sing this song.